stand with me, we'll begin reading in verse number 19, Luke chapter 16, in verse number 19. The Bible said, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto thee, unless they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray together. And please, you that are saved, don't check out on me. I know we've heard 100 messages out of this passage, and even in recent days, you've heard your pastor preach from here, but I beg you this morning to sit up, pay attention, be in a spirit of prayer. And amen, pray for your preacher and help your preacher today as we preach the Word of God. Father, we love you this morning. We are grateful to be able to have the privilege to enter in the house of God. Lord, I want to bless your name today for the day that you passed by my way. Father, Lord, has been testified so greatly this morning. Lord, we understand that. And Lord, we know better than anybody else. And God, today we could be in hell and we should be in hell. But Lord, you came by our way one day and made the difference and changed us. And Father, give us an opportunity to believe on the Lord Jesus and repent of our sin. And Father, Lord, I just want to bless you this morning, Lord, that you gave me that chance. And Lord, you could have let me go to hell and you'd have still been Lord and you'd have still been God. Lord, you could have saved everybody else and still let me go to hell. Lord, you'd have still been God and you'd have still been Lord. And Father, Lord, I don't ever want to get over the day that, Lord, you saved me by your amazing grace. Thank you for Jesus and thank you for Calvary and, Lord, the blood that he shed that we might be saved. And, Lord, we just praise you today for, Lord, all these things you've done for us, you've been so good. You're good before we got saved. And Lord, you've been good since we've been saved. And Lord, we can just testify, Lord, all morning of the blessings and the goodness of our God upon our life. And this morning in prayer, we just simply, Lord, want to say thank you. Father, I do want to ask you for one thing today. And Lord, that is it. And Lord, you'd pass by this way, Lord, one more time in a spirit of conviction. Lord, in a moving of God, I pray that conviction would fall and the gospel waters would be troubled again for sinners that they might be saved this morning. Lord, I pray, Lord, for Lord the preaching, Lord, over the next few moments that God you'd fill us. Lord, we've been asking you all morning to fill us with power and to fill us with the Spirit of God. Lord, we know the Word of God and the Gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But Father, I pray for that special touch, Lord, as the preacher this morning, Lord, that you'd help us communicate these things you've laid on our heart. God, do an everlasting work here today as Seed is sown and watered. Father, everything that will be done here and accomplished, seen or unseen, will return all the glory back to you. Help us, Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated today as we come to Luke 16. We understand, and in the context of this passage, as we've read it in its entirety, a very real story. It's not, as the liberals would have us to believe, some type of parable and some type of fable this morning. It's not a fairy tale, but it's a real story that the Lord gives in communicating truths concerning the warning that eternity is coming. He reminds you and I in this passage of Scripture and testifies of the lives of two men and gives an account of two different men. Of course, one is simply known as the rich man, and the other, my friend, is known as Lazarus the beggar. In this passage of Scripture, we understand that we're dealing with two men who live very different lives. One was a rich man and the other was a beggar. I don't know how the rich man became rich yet. We don't know how the beggar became poor, but this we know. And in their lives carried them down two very different roads. One was a rich man and one was a beggar. We understand today that, the day came where life was over, and that these two men, though they lived very different lives, they also died two very different deaths. The Bible said of Lazarus the beggar that, that the day came that he died, and upon dying he was ushered into the very abode of the saints of God, into paradise, Abraham's bosom, and that the angels carried him there into the very presence of God. And I say I'm glad that though Lazarus, no matter how he got there, don't know if he's born that way, and was never able to, my friend, attain much in life, for amen, if something that he done in his life caused him to be a beggar, somewhere in his life, Lazarus got saved and looked at God and repented of his sin. And when death came, Lazarus said, amen, had the blessed home that his begging days were over. And my friend, as poor as he was by the world's means, he was rich toward grace and rich in God, and went to heaven and went to paradise, if you will, when he died. But the rich man, the Bible said that when he died, that he was buried, and that, my friend, there was no angels around, there was no singing around, there was no saints around to welcome him up. And rather in hell he lift up his hands, being in torments. We learn that these two men lived two very different lives. They died two very different deaths, and they went into two very different eternities. Of course, Lazarus, as we said, entered under rest in the abode of the saints of God. And the rich man, we believe that even this morning, and these thousands of years later, this rich man, he's still burning in hell, and forevermore will be burning in hell. While Lazarus is enjoying the presence of God, my friend has an eternity of peace and joy and worship in the Lamb to come. The rich man has to look forward to an eternity where he'll burn and be in torment forever. These men couldn't be more different today, and yet there's something I believe that they had in common. Amen. I believe both the beggar and the rich man, in the lives they lived, in the deaths they died, in the eternities they entered, and both of these men had the opportunity to be saved. And the beggar, it wasn't that God looked down and had respect to Lazarus and not to the rich man, but amen, I believe that both men had the opportunity to be saved. Amen. One accepted that opportunity, and one, we'll see today, rejected that opportunity. I'm glad today to, amen, be able to preach and tell you, according to the Word of God, that, amen, there's not a man, woman, boy, girl in this place today,
that doesn't have the opportunity to be saved. Amen. God loves you and God is interested in you. Amen. God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. You say, preacher, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know my background and how bad that it is. And I tell you today, God knows. And God has seen it all. And God today knows where you've been. And yet God, amen, with love looks down. Amen, and He gives every man of the measure of faith that he needs. Amen, to turn to God if he will. Amen, he can be saved. I'm glad for that today. The Bible teaches you that they had all these differences, but we believe that, my friend, they both had an opportunity and a chance to be saved. You say, this rich man, can I put him this way? He didn't have to, but he went to hell anyway. Amen. God didn't want him to, but he went to hell anyway. This rich man, I believe today, and this is kind of where I want to preach from, and this rich man in this passage had some great things in his life and should have caused him to be saved, but he went to hell anyway. We preached the other day that God had given this man everything that he needed. My friend, God did everything that had to be done. God extended everything that had to be extended for this man to be saved and his life to be changed and to enter an eternity like that Lazarus entered into. And yet this rich man, my friend, turned away from God. Amen. He never turned to God. He never bowed his knee to God. He never accepted the Lord. Oh, my friend, and he went to hell anyway. God will help me. And if Brother Chad will give me a little more volume right here, I want to preach on that this morning. On he went to hell anyway. Amen. I mean, my friend, this man had going for him in his life. This man went to hell anyway. Three things quickly and I'll be done today. I wish you pray for me. Pray for my voice. And pray the Lord to use us today. Amen. Let me say this morning. And this rich man, he went to hell anyway in spite of the great increase that he had. I mean, this man is identified. The Lord called him a rich man. And when the Lord calls you a rich man, you mark it down. You are a rich man. Amen. It's not him bragging on himself. There are no exaggerations. This man, that was a rich man. In fact, the Lord said about the life that he lived that, and he fared sumptuously every day. This man lived a life. Amen. No doubt he worked hard in life. No doubt he got up when the sun did and worked hard till the sun went down. And my friend, he gave himself to a life of work and a life of labor, of trying to better his position in life. Amen. So much so that, my friend, every day that he got up, everything that he did, Brother Charlie, everything that his hand found to do, the Bible said that it just began to grow and it began to multiply and it began to increase and it began, my friend, to be more today than what he had yesterday. Hang with me, I'm going somewhere. This man's life, according to Abraham, when the rich man opened his eyes in hell and looked down and began this conversation with Abraham. Abraham said in verse 25, he said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this man's life was filled with good things. Every day that he lived, he awoke to more good things. Every day got up, his business grew just a little bit more. Every day that he worked and he labored, accomplished just a little bit more today than he did on yesterday. Did you notice what Abraham said? Amen. When he told about these good things, amen, Abraham testified to this rich man that these good things had been received. I'd never seen this before. Amen, friend, when you think about somebody receiving something, amen, you don't receive something until it's extended to you. Amen, you say, preacher, what do you say? Here's what I'm saying today. And every day that man got up, ain't gone that he worked hard. What he did not understand and didn't pause to realize is that a hand of God was on his leg and the hand of God was moving for him. Amen. He gladly received all the good things God gave him. Amen. He gladly received all them blessings. He gladly lived in the house that he is able to build. He gladly, my friend, rode around in the chariot he is able to bathe. He gladly wore the fine garments in purple lead and accepted those, amen, good things given him by God. Amen. Can I say to every sinner today that God has been good to you? And so rich man lived his life, and Brother Dean, he never paused, he never stopped to consider, and it was not the labor of his hand, but it was the bestowment of the blessings and divine goodness of Almighty God upon his life. Now see, Abraham said, son, you need to remember all them days you got up and you couldn't believe it. At the end of the day, you had more when you went to bed and you had when you got up. And all them days you slept in that nice bed. And all them days you were saved. All them things you gladly accepted, all them things that God did for you. And I say, God sure is good to us today. And there's been testimony to that. There's been singing to that effect today. Can there be some preaching to that effect? You understand how good that God has been to you and that? Amen. I'm so grateful, Brother Jack. Amen. Who'd have ever thought I'd be able to live up here in the hills of Tennessee and have the things that God has let me have? Amen. This rich man went to hell in spite of the increase that he had. You say, what he's saying? I feel like I'm spinning my wheels a little bit right here. What I'm trying to say is that God had been good to him as a means to try to get his attention. And I say, God sometimes has to take a man real low to get his attention. That's where Lazarus is. That's where Lazarus got saved. Amen. He didn't have a lot of riches, Seth. Amen. He had a lot of hardship. He lived his life, amen, with sores and dogs licking it and begging for meager crumbs. It fell from the rich man's table, and yet he found God down there, or rather God found him down there, and he got saved by the grace of God. Amen. This rich man, God went about another approach with him. He didn't bring him down to meager nothingness, but rather elevated him and just kept being good to him. Are you listening? I mean, just kept being good to it. I mean, every day, the Bible said, every day he received these good things. Every day that he got up, God said, I'm going to be good to him again. I'm going to give him something more, and maybe he'll acknowledge the goodness of God in his life. You say what he's saying, old friend. Later on, the New Testament, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, it's the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. It ever dawned on you before you got saved, Brother Jerry, just how good God had been to you? Amen. I don't care where you come from, and we got them all over the board. Sissy testified today, and she come out of poverty and poorness and meanness, Seth. And Brother Jordan testified a moment ago, and he came out of, amen, a preacher's son background, Seth. Amen. I don't care where you came from, amen. God was good in your life. Amen. If you're here today and you've never been saved, amen, God's been good to you. Amen. You don't deserve the home you live in. Amen. If God gave you what you deserve, He'd burn her down before you ever got back to it tonight. Amen. You don't deserve the clothes on your back. Amen. If you got what you deserve, amen, God would make you wear rags today. Amen. And stand on a street corner and beg for your next meal. God's give you food in the cupboard. And God's give you a roof over your head. And God's give you some good things in life. You know what the sad thing is? Some of you's going to go to hell anyway. You're going to go to hell hanging on to the blessings of God. You're going to go to hell sleeping in a bed that God gave you. You're going to go to hell with a job God gave you. You're going to go to hell with money in the bank. You're going to go to hell driving a new car. You're going to go to hell when God hath gave you increase in life. Amen. Somebody help me now. He went to hell anyway. I mean, God, amen, tried to be good to him and give him a chance. But Gerald, he turned his back away. Oh, he gladly received the blessings, but he rejected the Lord of the blessing, and he went to hell anyway. Ain't it a shame? Shame on you, sinner friend. Shame on your old, amen, depraved soul today. Amen, that have taken the blessings of a God and yet reject Him. Amen, thank God for His goodness, sir. Thank God, amen, thank God. And He gives us what we need. And I'm telling you today, amen, He don't just want you to have the good things. He wants you to have Him. He went to hell anyway. Boy, I'm having a hard time moving on from here. Amen. Can I illustrate it in the Old Testament? Amen. Over in the book of Hosea, God said, Hosea is to go take a bread. Amen. Down there, and he went down, found Gomer, an old harlot woman. And she run from him. And she never went and would receive Hosea and accept it. And she went down there and played the harlot. Amen. And Hosea, you know what he did? Every night. Amen. She'd be living in her sinfulness. Amen. There in her house. Amen. Living in depravity and sin. And you know what Hosea did? He'd show up in the night and he'd leave a sack of corn on her step. He'd leave some blessings, and some provisions for her to enjoy. Amen. She'd get up every morning and she thought that it was her lover, amen, that was engaged in sinful living with her that had been good to her. But you know what the message is? And sinners in this air and this day, amen, you get up every day and the mercies of God are new and the goodness of God is fresh every morning. Amen. It ain't your lifestyle, amen, that gives you what you have. There's a God in glory that's making sure you say, I ain't rich, but you got a lot more than most people do in this life. I'm looking at people, and the most poor person among us today, do you realize you have it far better off? And the majority of people that live on this earth, you have more, amen, as a poor individual, amen, than some of the richest people do in some countries. You have more, and God has bountifully blessed your life, amen, and gave increase. What a shame to get up and go to hell anyway in spite of the increase God's given you. I believe I'm right about it. I ain't ever seen that before, but Abraham's reminding him, all them days you got up, you thought it was how hard you could work. You thought it was about all the intellect and the business mind that you had. Oh, but you was receiving something that was far greater and far bigger than you could ever deserve. Oh, I wish I could get it out and hatch in my heart today. Amen. But Dean, I'm so glad all them days lived in sin, all them days lived in rejecting the Lord. I'm glad He's still good to me. I'm glad that He led me. Amen. He led me to Himself through His goodness in my life. Receiving the gifts, receiving the blessings, receiving the increase, but rejected the Lord of the blessing, and he went to hell anyway. Number two, he went to hell anyway in spite of the increase he had. in spite of the great increase that he had. But he went to hell anyway, Lucas, in spite of the great instruction that he had. In this account, in the end of Luke 16, the debate and the argument, the question, the conversation, but Gerald, between Abraham and the rich man, and said, the rich man said, send Lazarus back to tell my brothers that lest they come to this awful place. And Abraham said, they've got what you had. They've got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And the rich man said, but you don't understand. I know that they've got that, and I had that. But if one went to them from the dead, they'll believe. They're not going to listen. I didn't listen. I knew what Moses said. The implication of this passage is this, that the rich man had some religious instruction. In fact, Abraham plainly says that it's Moses and the prophets that they need to be listening to. Yes, the emphasis or implication again is this, that the rich man had held and heard the Word of God, especially as it's emphasized in this passage, especially that portion that had been given him by Moses. Is that what it said? I know he emphasized the prophets, but he uses Moses by name. And he said, you need to understand all that you heard and all that you held in the Word of God from Moses. That's what it's going to take for a man to repent of his sin. And I say the rich man had what his five brothers had. And yet he went to hell anyway. What is it? What is it about Moses that this man had been instructed in? You ever thought about that? Amen. Moses wrote what is known as the Pentateuch. He penned it down, and God let him record Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And what Abraham is saying is that in what Moses wrote in the Pentateuch, the first five books in the Bible, is what you should have been listening to. It's what God instructed you with to lead you to salvation. What does a man learn from what Moses has instructed us? This rich man, as he had heard and held the Word of God according to Moses in Genesis 3, knew something about the downfall of man. Yes. Amen. He was no stranger to Genesis 3 and Genesis 2 and 3 and the commandment of God not to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. He knew what God had said and how Adam had disobeyed and had a downfall into sin. And I say that's one of man's got to be instructed in. If he's going to be saved, you got to understand that man, regardless of what the Mormon says, regardless of what Scientology teaches, amen, man is not becoming greater and more enlightened and more elevated. Man is in a downward spiral. Man is in a downfall today. The Bible said in Romans 5, that as by one man sin entered into the world, amen, our daddy Abraham, amen, chose to disobey God. This rich man knew this. This rich man had been instructed in this. Amen, but John is no stranger to this. He knew what man was in the sin that man had fallen into. Amen, just like some of y'all do. Amen, and yet he went to hell anyway. Genesis chapter number 4 through really the rest of the book of Genesis. But, amen, if you want to go Genesis 4 through 11, he not only knew the downfall of man, but he was instructed in the depravity of man. Chapter 4, and man's downfall immediately. Man begins to be dominated by his flesh and the anger and the spirit of pride and jealousy settles in. And men began to slay one another. Men began to run from the presence of God. Amen. Genesis chapter 6, he knew. Amen. What Moses had penned out about the days of Noah and how at the imagination and the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. Amen. That rich man had been instructed. Amen. In the depravity of man. Amen. He can read on and say, amen, how low and depraved that man really was. And a man by the name of Ham would sodomize his own daddy. Amen, the depravity of man was saved. Amen, in the Tower of Babel, and the prayer of death, and the self-elevation of man. Amen, I'm telling you, the rich man knew something about the depravity of man. He knew man wasn't getting better, that man in sin and in his downfall was depraved, and my friend in absolute misery. Yeah, man, you might as well say, man, he knew that, and yet he went to hell anyway. He knew something about the destination of man. Amen. You get over into Genesis 19, and I mean the rich man knows something. He's heard and held and been instructed in what Moses said. That man in his sin is headed for the fiery judgment of Almighty God. He knew about it, Brother Jordan. Amen. He wasn't some jungle monkey in the Amazon somewhere. Oh no, this man had been given the Word of God. This man, amen, had had the privilege of hearing what Moses said about man's destination for the fiery judgment of God. Are y'all with me now? Brother Larry, he went to hell anyway. You know what's sad? Some of you know that man's in a downfall. And you know, according to the Word of God and what Moses said and the Word of God said, in fact, you've got more enlightenment, you got more instruction, you got more light about it, that man is depraved and dead and wicked today and sinful. And you know, you already have heard Luke 16. You know what's sad? There's people sitting right here this morning, they're going to go to hell anyway. Go to hell anyway, and you've been given such great instruction. Amen. I'm not saying I'm a great preacher today. What a great privilege to have, amen, instruction from the Word of God. Amen. We don't face eternity without, my friends, some understanding. Amen. We don't face it blindly. God tells us where we came from and tells us what we are and tells us, Brother Dad, He tells us where we're headed. And I say today, he's reminded of, amen, and instructed, great instruction from Moses in the downfall and depravity and the destination of man. And you know what else he heard and learned and was instructed in by Moses? His instruction about the deliverance of man. Over in Genesis 22, he's going to learn something about substitution. Amen. This old rich man, he had done read the Pentateuch. He knew about the day that Abraham took old Isaac up and be bound and slain as a sacrifice to God. Amen. Amen. He could tell you the story about Abraham and Isaac and Isaac. Amen. Looking at his daddy, this rich man could tell it as good as I could today, if not better. And Brother Jerry, he knew about Isaac looking at his daddy walking up Mount Moriah, saying, "Daddy, I see the knife and the fire and the wood. Amen. But where's the sacrifice we're going to give for a burnt offering?" Amen. That old rich man could tell you the response of Abraham to his son. "Son, God shall provide Himself a lamb." Lord have mercy. I'm about to feel like, amen, running this morning. That old rich man had been instructed in the deliverance of man. He could tell you about Abraham binding his own son there on the altar. Amen. He could tell you about the fire being lit and the knife being raised. And he could tell you about the voice of God coming out of heaven. Amen. Saying, "Abraham, Abraham, do thy son no harm." Amen. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and seen a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. He could tell you about all that. Moses had already given him instruction about the deliverance of man. Amen. But learn this rich man. Amen. Oh, amen. No. Amen. That account. And here's what Jesus said about it. Amen. In that account, there's no doubt about it. That Abraham seen the day of the Lord and began to rejoice there on Mount Moriah. Amen. That was more than a story That was a message of how God delivers mankind, that mankind is destined to die in his sin. He's destined for the judgment and the fire and the wrath of Almighty God. Amen. But God sent a lamb one day, amen, and put a crown of thorns on his head and nailed him to an old rugged cross, said, amen, that mankind might be delivered from his sin. That rich man had been, am I making sense today? The rich man had been given great instruction, but he went to hell anyway. You know what's sad, Brother Larry? I preach every week of my life, and you'll never convince me there ain't sinners here this morning that need this. God wouldn't have told me to preach this if there wasn't somebody God wanted to save today. Amen. And yet every week of my life, I get up and try to get men to understand that great word of God, that yes, man is in a downfall, and he's depraved, and he's even worse than depraved. Amen. He's dead, and that man is destined and determined to the judgment of God. Amen. But then I get to tell them that Jesus paid it all. That Jesus is their substitute. That Jesus did everything that they need to have done to be saved. You know what's so sad? There's people sitting here this morning. There's boys and girls that are listening today. There's husbands and wives and mamas and daddies and grandparents that hear it, and God has shown them the truth of it all. And yet they're going to go to hell anyway, having great instruction. You'll go to hell knowing how to go to heaven. What a pitiful, pitiful, pitiful soul we are. You might as well say, man, going to go to hell knowing how to go to heaven. Going to hell knowing how to go to heaven. Going to bust hell wide open when you know good and well how to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. You know what's so sad? The way this man lived. Amen. He knew the life he'd lived. He knew the increase he had been given and the instruction he had been given. Amen. This rich man knew that he had done set an example and a pattern to them brothers and family coming behind him. And if they followed his footsteps, he was going to send others to hell right behind him. You know what's so sad? Now, I'm going to probably preach on this sometime. Amen. He didn't just go to hell. He carried a bunch of people with him. Now, I don't know if them five brothers ever listened to Moses. I don't know if they had an old, I don't know if they got old John the Baptist to preach his funeral. Amen. I promise you, if John the Baptist preached his funeral, amen, he'd have told them what, amen, he'd have told them what was. He wouldn't have let up. Amen. He'd have screamed and lifted up his voice like a trumpet. Amen. And told them they had to be born again. Amen. I'm glad today. And I just say time out and say thank God for men of God who preached the word of God to me and made sure I had great instruction. If I had gone to hell, if I had lived my life and went to hell, I'd have done so with great instruction. I'd have went to hell knowing how to go to heaven. Y'all might as well say, man, I'm telling you today, amen, I wish I could preach it better. Wish my throat, amen, would open up a little bit. But Brother Jerry, I'm telling you, amen, we're living in a generation of men and women that God has given a great increase. They live life with a great increase and a great instruction, but they're going to go to hell anyway. Say number three, and I'll be done. Come on, Sister Candy. He went to hell anyway in spite of a great increase, in spite of a great instruction. But he went to hell anyway in spite, I believe, of a great intention. I don't believe a soul boy ever meant to go to hell. I don't think Brother Jackie set out, Brother William, I don't think he just determined in his mind, I want to go to hell. I don't believe he did. You know what I think? I think he thought, boy, I'm doing pretty good for myself. I'm in pretty good shape, pretty good health, got a good doctor, good income coming in. Something happens, I'm self-insured, I'll be all right. But one day he just died. He wasn't planning on it. He just died. He had all these good intentions. I believe even when you read what the rich man said later down to Abraham, he said, if one, talking about his brother, said, if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. This old boy knew that he should have repented and turned to God. I imagine maybe somewhere along the way, maybe he got up one day and he's going out to buy some groceries. With all that increase God had given. Maybe down there on old street corner, there's old hairy man wearing camel skin. Locust stuck in his beard. Honey dripping off his chin. Screaming, repent, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He probably paused there and caught up in the amusement with the crowd, saying, boy, what a preacher. What charisma. I've never heard a man preach and thunder with this kind of power and this kind of passion for souls. Probably stood there, Brother Gerald, with the rest of them. And Gary, I imagine maybe in his heart he thought, boy, you know I ought to do that. I ought to do what that preacher's telling me to do. In fact, one of these days, I'm going to come back down here and I'm going to hear him preach. And when he gives the invitation, one day soon, one day down the road, one day later, I intend on getting that thing settled. I imagine he buys his groceries and he goes home, and the next day that old owl man's preaching again and he overhears him. Maybe out in the field the Holy Ghost begins to let him see it and hear it all over again. And the old rich man said, well, I'm just too busy today. I've got too much to do. I got too much to get accomplished. I know I need to do that, and I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it later. I got every intention in the world making sure I repent and turn to the Lord. I know I need to. I know I ought to. And I have every serious intention I'll get that thing settled before I die. But death came without warning. Death came without an opportunity. You know what? He had great intentions. Just like some of you here today. You hear it, you say, yeah, I agree with it. I hear what he's saying. I understand. I know I've been instructed. I know what I ought to do, and I intend on getting that thing settled. But guess what? Just like the rich man, oh, God help us. You know what some of you's going to do? You got great intentions, but you're going to go to hell anyway. Rich man, he went to hell anyway. Father, I sure am grateful that you sent Jesus into this world. Died for my sin. Grateful that he passed by. Lord, I want to bless you this morning. That you not only prepared a place, but you prepared a way. Father, I'm grateful that we've come unto you by the blood and the name and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this morning we've tried to preach our heart and our guts out. Father, I pray, Lord, may the message stir some soul. Lord, they've got great increase and great instruction. And Lord, I don't believe there's anybody here that's just made up their mind they're going to go to hell. Father, they're living their life in good and great intentions. Father, I pray there'd not be a soul under the sound of our voice that'd leave here this morning and go to hell anyway. All they have, I pray, oh God, I pray that they would turn to the Lord, repent of their sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved by the glorious grace of Almighty God. Lord, I don't know who all you've been preaching to today. Father, I pray you'd speak to them again. Draw them now, Lord, we praise you. Done so in preaching, do so in the invitation. Lord, wish we could make them come. Wish, Lord, we could drag them down and make them get right with you. Father, Lord, your business is to draw and to woo. Lord, I pray you'd do the calling today, and may they do the listening. May they do the responding. Father, may today they be saved before they go to hell anyway. Help us, Lord, we pray, that are saved. Carry burdens for sinners. Carry burdens for our lost family. Carry burdens for a lost community. Do our part. Preach the gospel to every creature. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to stand with me. There's a few that's come today. I, of course, want to give invitation first to every saved person. If you've been saved today, you got saved with God having been good to you. Gave you increase, gave you instruction, gave you opportunity to fulfill them intentions you had when you didn't first get saved. Today it'd be in order we get on this altar and just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for making the difference. Maybe somebody here today, you know they're in this service. They've heard the gospel again, but you know they're not saved. Maybe it's a child or a friend. This morning it'd be, be in the absolute perfect will of God to fall on your face on this altar. Say, God, please speak to them again. Say to God, you'll have to respond before we can expect a sinner to respond. Say, preacher, I'm saved. Hallelujah. Everybody in here today ain't. Would you mind the Lord, children of God, mind the Lord? Here's what I want to ask you now. To be one in the service today, no one's looking around now. Just want to ask you this morning, is there anybody here today? Say, preacher, I am the soul you've preached on this morning. God has given me great increase. God has gave me great instruction. Preacher, I have great intentions. I agree, and I know I ought to be saved. But preacher, I'm not saved. Would you please pray for me? God spoke to my heart today. Preacher, I'm thinking about coming. This morning I'm really contemplating about making a move this morning and repenting and getting right with God. I've been taking His blessings, but I've been rejecting Him, and today I'm seriously troubled in my own heart about my own soul. Preacher, please pray for me. I'm not saved. Is there one anywhere? Thank you, young lady. Is there another this morning? Is there another this morning, preacher? I know I'm not saved. God spoke to my heart. God spoke to my heart again. Preacher, God's given me another opportunity. Preacher, I'm troubled about it today. Preacher, please pray for me. I know I need to be saved. Just pray for me, preacher. Is there another anywhere? Is there another anywhere, preacher? You ain't going to go to hell anyway, are you? So I don't like how hard you preach on this. Listen, don't get mad at me. I just don't want you to go to hell. I just don't want you to burn forever. I just care about your soul. You're headed to a very, very different death and a very, very different eternity than what we, the saved of God, are. Don't go to hell knowing how to go to heaven. Don't go to hell knowing how to be saved, knowing how to be born again. Don't do it, friend. Won't you come to Jesus today? You've been receiving His good things. Won't you come receive Him? The Bible said He came to His own received Him not. Gospel of John chapter 1. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I say you'll have to receive him. You just take his blessings, you'll go to hell. But you gotta take him. You gotta take him. He ain't playing games with you, sinner friend. We ain't playing games with you today. We love you so. We're not gonna play games with you. The gospel is exactly in according has been preached from the Word of God today. You must be born again. You gotta be born again. All the good things you have in life, all the good words you could tell, all the good intentions you have, my friend, you can still go to hell anyway. How many say this morning by uplifted hand, preacher, I know I'm born again, I'm saved. If I die today, heaven's my home. I ain't going to hell. How many uplift your hand, say, preacher, I know I'm saved today. Just hold your hand up. Preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. When eternity, when death comes, leave your hand up now and I face eternity. I know beyond the shadow of any doubt whatsoever, heaven's my home. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. Praise the Lord. That's nearly every hand in the building. You can put your hand down. I promise you there's at least six hands couldn't go up today. And I appreciate your honesty. Preacher, that's too much pressure. Tell you today, you better thank God for a preacher that put a little pressure. I can't make you come. All I can do is beg you. I'm begging. If there's something more I could do, I'd do it this morning. If there's something more I could do than what I've already done, I'd do it this morning. I've already prayed for you. I've already preached to you. The blessed Holy Ghost has already told you that preacher's right. That preacher's right. That preacher told you right. Holy Ghost done come by your way, spoke to your heart and said, you know you ain't going to heaven when you die. You know you need to be saved. All you have to do, friends, respond to that. I don't normally drag invitations like this out, but I'm going to tell you, I really believe they somebody today, you could be saved if you come. Would you? Would you? Would you come? You walk out of here lost and die this week. You know what this young preacher have to preach at your funeral? He went to hell anyway. I have to get up. If you die tomorrow, I have to get up by week's end, preach your funeral. You know what I have to preach? She went to hell anyway. She's just told. He's just told. They were just told on the Lord's Day. Told again. Begged again. Pleaded with again to come to the Lord and be saved. But she... went to hell anyway. God help, don't make me preach that. Would you come? Would you come? Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I pray you'd be so long-suffering and gracious as we leave this morning. Lord, I don't know why I've been troubled all week. Lord, not just to preach this, but Lord, the seriousness, Lord, of it. Lord, you know I'm no prophet. I ain't even the son of a prophet. Lord, I believe you've sent a warning out. Very serious, very timely warning this morning. God, I want to beg you. Lord, I beg them to come. And Lord, they just seemingly made up their mind. Lord, they're not going to come today. Lord, I want to beg you. Lord, I can't get their attention. Lord, maybe, Lord, I can get yours. I want to beg you, Lord. Lord, don't cut them off. Lord, be long-suffering to them. Lord, give them another chance. Lord, if this is going to be their last time, Lord, I pray, Lord, you just extend a little more grace. Lord, maybe they've made up their mind for this service. Lord, maybe one more. Lord, maybe some more conviction, Lord, in the midnight hour when nobody else is around. Maybe then they, Lord, I'm just begging you, Lord. Lord, please. Lord, don't cut them off. Don't leave them alone. Oh, God, Lord, give them one more day. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.